Lesson number 12. The New Age Begun. Now that Christ is risen from the dead, he has become the first fruits of them that sleep. First fruits are a promise. They are a guarantee that the harvest is soon to be established, gathered in. And Jesus Christ's work as the atoning sacrifice on Calvary was the guarantee that his success as the mediating high priest in heaven would bring about as wonderful results. Part number one, our forerunner. On the Ascension Day, Jesus Christ ascended into the presence of God. He told Mary, "Don't touch me, I must go to my Father and your Father." He needed to hear from his Father's voice, as the universe needed to hear, that his sacrifice had been accepted, that he was still the perfect Lamb of God throughout the horrors of his trial, scourging, and crucifixion. If he had sinned even by a thought, the Father's glory would have killed him. But when he was accepted by God and the Father announced to the universe that his sacrifice had been complete, he could return to this earth to begin the next phase of his work of redemption. He was the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of Melchizedek's father and mother, we know nothing. Of his posterity, we have no record. He is the anonymous. He is you, and he is I. Not according to heredity was his priesthood established, as was the priesthood of Levi. It was on his acceptance of the kingdom of righteousness and peace, Melchizedek, Melchishalom, that he was king and priest. And Jesus is after his order, and when we become kings and priests to Christ, we too are priests after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ there commenced his work of intercession, when he says, "Father, my blood, his sacrifice is accepted." His purpose is to draw all to himself, not only men and women, but the universe. Troubled, wandering, disturbed by the alien spirit of Satan, the universe needs to feel the drawing love of Christ. And so he is drawing all to himself, so that when the plan of salvation has come to its consummation, the whole universe will blend in one note of harmony. Part number two, he is our model of what? Of self-denial? Of self-immolation? Of following God's will? He denies himself. He takes up his cross. He follows God. So he set himself a model. And then he sets this model to us. And our problem is day by day taking up his cross. This is the hardest thing we have to do. A cross is an instrument of self-destruction. On the cross he died. On my cross I must die. I must say, all things are passed away, all things must become new. I must give up my past in order to accept his present and future. Part number three. The new age of the Spirit begins. The Spirit was not poured out in his fullness until after the ascension of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Pentecostal outpouring was the cascading of the rains of the Spirit upon this planet. The Old Testament is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the revelation of the Father through Jesus Christ. And the post-New Testament period is the revelation of the working of the Spirit through humanity. the Father and the new, the Spirit in the Christian era, Christ in the Old Testament. Thus the Trinity works to reveal the Godhead to mankind. The realization of the resurrection through the clarification of its significance by the Spirit gave a power to the early disciples that moved the world. We see God by stages revealing His plan, revealing His purpose. And we who now live in the last days with the message of the three angels to carry to the ends of the world should pray for the same Spirit to empower us to be as faithful in our generation as were the disciples in their generation. The new age begun points to eternal life. Whosoever has the Son has life. Right now, the life of Jesus Christ lives in us. As Paul says, I die daily. I put my body under, that the life that I now live may be lived while it is in the flesh, in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus lives in my heart. Now, how may He live in my heart? We contemplate the life of Christ. We read the Gospels. We read Desire of Ages. We read Ministry of Healing. And we see the sort of life Christ lived. We mark carefully the responses He made to the hard circumstances in His life. How did He react to His half-brothers and sisters? They weren't even half-brothers. They were foster brothers and sisters. He was in a foster home. He bore no physical relationship to Joseph. When they ridiculed Him, how did He react? I read in Desire of Ages what this lad did. Prayed, smiled, used no words, went away by himself, came back and never mentioned the hard times again. How did He do it? When they hit Him in the face, He never said a word. When they spat on Him, never responded. What kind of control was that? Then when I see this, and I see how I react, then I must pray my Father, Father, I must have the Spirit of Christ. My spirit is totally an alien spirit. I need this. I need the life of Christ living in me. When men make false statements up about me, false reports are spread. What do I say? Do I try to justify myself? Do I defend myself? Then I say, what did Christ do? And when I see what He did, then I say, Father, help me to do this. Help me to react in this way. And thus, by His Spirit, through a study of His Word, the life of Christ first becomes my vision, then it becomes my model, and then it becomes a reality within me. And thus I live the life of Christ. Part number 5. Crucified afresh. Crucified afresh. How do I crucify Christ afresh? Notice what Paul says. Apostasy. Apostasy. Tasted the heavenly gift. Peace, joy, love, forgiveness, acceptance. I've tasted it. I've received the Holy Spirit. I've been conscious of His guidance, of His presence. I have tasted the good Word of God. The divine unfoldings have awakened in my soul ecstatic reactions to the revelations of truth I have seen in the Word. I've seen the power of the world to come, changing hearts, making drunkards loving, sacrificial husbands. I've seen it all. I've seen the power of the world to come. If I fall away, Paul says, it's impossible to renew me again to repentance, seeing that I am crucifying to myself the Son of God and putting him to an open shame. I am going against my understanding. I am going against the revelation of truth I have received. Thus, I am crucifying the Son of God afresh. To myself, in myself, by myself. To one who does that, there's an impossibility of restoration. If I glory in worldliness, then I am not glorying in the cross. God forbid that I should glory in worldliness. Because by the cross the world is crucified to me and I to the world. If I am still alive to the world, then I am crucifying Christ afresh when I know him. Now what is the focus for this week? Death and resurrection. The cross and the new life. The ending of the old, the beginning of the new. The deliberate, conscious resolution that the old program has got to stop. I used to love to read literature. The great authors, 99% of whom were novelists. Years ago I made the resolution, no more. No more. I loved the taste of flesh and fish. I still love the smell of fried fish. But 1939, I made the resolution. My wife, no more. The old ways had got to stop. New ways have got to begin. We have got to come to grips with the old ways. Movies, televisions, shows, they've got to stop. Ways of dressing, calling attention to oneself. Extravagance, they've got to stop. The planning, the conniving, the scheming, the politicking, to manipulate and move and get our own way, it's got to stop. The simplicity of the gospel, the acceptance of Jesus Christ, the surrender of the individual exercise of whatever privileges and prerogatives I might have to God, to say all the time, not my will, but thy will be done, that's got to start. So I've got to put off the old man and I've got to put on the new. I've got to stop, let him that stealeth steal no more. And I've got to start again, remembering that the commandment says, thou shalt not steal, that this is breaking a love relationship that I must have, that I'm sinning against God, that I'm crucifying the Son of God afresh. So somehow I must pray, Lord, not my will, but thine. And once that begins, heaven begins in my life now. Christ, not my will, but thy will, is living in me. And this principle guarantees I am a child of God, that I am now getting ready for heaven in a little heaven that has already started in my heart.